Good morning. You're listening to special coverage of tragic events that have occurred today in New York City and in Washington, D.C. I'm going to go through just a timeline of today's events as compiled by the Associated Press. Plane crashes into Tower of World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan shortly before 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Then shortly after 9 a.m. Eastern Time, a second plane crashed into the second tower of the World Trade Center. President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, earlier this morning called the crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy. Then an aircraft crashed near the Pentagon, just outside of Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia, about an hour after those attacks in New York. Government buildings in Washington, including the Capitol and the White House, were evacuated, also the Treasury Department and the State Department, with officials citing a credible threat of a terrorist attack. The Federal Aviation Administration shut down all aircraft takeoffs nationwide. If you were planning to take a plane flight in the United States of America today, forget it. It will not happen. Much of American air traffic has been diverted to Canada. Shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, an hour ago, Eastern Time, one of the World Trade Center towers in New York City collapsed, about an hour after being hit by a plane. American Airlines said that one of the planes that crashed into the Trade Center was American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles. There was a report this morning that senior law enforcement officials said that a car bomb exploded outside of the State Department in Washington, D.C. I've not seen that report repeated this morning. Financial markets suspended trading in the wake of the attacks. At 10:28 a.m. Eastern Time, about a half an hour ago, the second tower of the World Trade Center collapsed. New Yorkers were to vote today in a mayoral primary. If you are a New Yorker, you're listening now, forget it. You will not vote today. That primary has been called off. Tunnels and roads into and out of Manhattan have been shut down. And NPR's Jackie Leiden is in Brooklyn, New York, and has been watching the scene that she sees far away in the World Trade Center. Jackie?
Well, Bob, you know, as I'm listening to that recap and as these events settle in this last hour, I think we're all just beginning to now absorb the gravity of this coordinated terrorist attack. I mean, I have been watching when I haven't been listening to you or on the computer, the way the different clouds of smoke are changing over the Manhattan skyline from gray to white. As I have mentioned in earlier conversations, my backdoor view from a third floor loft is the World Trade Towers, and the unimaginable horror is that they are gone. And as bad as that, we don't have much notion of how many casualties, to what extent. I'm sure it's to a very great, severe extent, the loss of life. Eyewitness reports from around the building that I've heard have been fairly calm, but only one hospital operates in Lower Manhattan. Manhattan, and for that matter, Brooklyn across the river, are at a standstill. You can't take the subway. You can't drive. I am awaiting instructions if I should bicycle into the scene later or stay here by the telephone. I think this is going to go down as one of our darkest days in American history.
NPR's Tom Jelton is at the Pentagon, where a plane has crashed into that building. Tom?
Yeah, Bob, I had gotten here just about 9:30 this morning, and moments after I arrived, there was an order to evacuate. I didn't actually hear the crash. It happened on the west side of the Pentagon. I enter on the exact opposite side, on the Potomac River side. But I am now over here on a hill overlooking the Pentagon. I'm just about a half a mile from it, directly opposite where the aircraft hit the Pentagon. It is just a stunning sight, Bob, as you've had if you've heard from others before, you know how tough the Pentagon is. This is a building that was built 50 years ago to withstand direct attack. The walls are solid concrete and very thick. This aircraft, and it must have been a large one, cut right through the Pentagon, leaving a gap. There's a notch, a wide notch from top to bottom, and it had just taken out a whole chunk of the Pentagon on the west side here. And that's at least six stories from top to bottom. And as far as I can see, it looks like it goes almost all the way through. That would be hundreds of people that would have been affected by that. That is in the new section of the Pentagon. The Air Force, a number of senior general Air Force officers have their offices there. There is still flames coming from the Pentagon and firefighting going on. The fire is not yet under control, but this is just a major attack on the Pentagon.
Tom Gelton, thank you very much. Michelle Flournoy is a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic Studies. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. I can never be sure. I'm sorry. Since people are coming at me from all directions here. What do you make of what has happened today? A multiple attack, apparently. And again, if it would be an extraordinary coincidence if it were a coincidence. Attacks in two cities, on the World Trade Center in New York and on the Pentagon here in Washington.
I think it is a terrible tragedy. I think in all probability it is a coordinated terrorist attack, and I think it's unprecedented in terms of the level of coordination and the scale. And while Oklahoma City was certainly a wake-up call, I think this is really going to get our attention in a different way as a nation, and I think it's going to force us to reevaluate a whole number of things in response.
You've been in a number of meetings, I'm sure, where you've tried to imagine the worst that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be getting close to that.
It is very close in terms of the number of casualties that will result from this, in terms of the degree of vulnerability that it will cause people to feel walking around downtown New York, Washington, and any other major American city. I think the only thing that could have made it worse is if there were chemical or biological weapons involved or something that would increase the casualty level even further. But I think it's very bad, and I do think it will force us to rethink how we are prepared as a nation to deal with terrorism.
What sort of contingencies are discussed when these matters come up before you planners and people who have to prepare us for this?
Well, contingencies like this, attacks on major symbols of American power, which we had today. Both the World Trade Center is certainly a symbol of American economic power and leadership, and also obviously the Pentagon is a symbol of our military power. I think the worst cases that we tend to consider are multiple coordinated attacks, and in the past some people have discounted the possibility of that, but I think obviously now that's proven to be, it's quite clear that it can happen. I do think that it's going to cause us to think about whether we need to take additional security steps to safeguard ourselves against this type of threat. Americans are we have an open society. It's part of our national character. We tend to embrace our civil liberties and protect them fiercely. But I think there are certain trade-offs between those liberties and the kind of security that we might want to heighten in the future. And those trade-offs are going to be on the agenda following this experience.
But there are precautions there are security measures having to do with hijacked planes, and that's what we had today. Apparently, hijacked planes flown into the World Trade Center and
yes.
Possibly the Pentagon.
Yes. I think in the case of the Pentagon, one of the challenges is that it's so closely situated next to National Airport, so literally hundreds if not thousands of flights pass near or even directly over the Pentagon on a daily basis. I think that situation will probably be reevaluated in the future as to whether we need to cordon off part of that airspace and protect it more fiercely in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michelle Flournoy is a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic Studies. We've been discussing today's airplane crashes into the World Trade Center towers, both towers, in New York City. The two towers, much of them have collapsed since, after much fire. And a plane crash into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. World leaders have reacted to what's been going on here this morning. Russia's President Vladimir Putin expressed deep sympathy to the people of the United States. He said he had been informed immediately of the attacks. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair said he was rushing back to London from a trade union conference in response. The Foreign Secretary, Jack Straw, said that Britain offered whatever it could to help the United States government to bring the perpetrators to justice. This is assuming that this is a terrorist attack. President Bush said this morning before he left Florida, he described it as an apparent terrorist attack. German air traffic authorities said all European flights to the United States had been suspended after this morning's incidents. The Federal Aviation Administration has grounded American aircraft. Flights have been diverted to Canada. Again, this is a precaution because it is suspected that the planes that struck the World Trade Center this morning were hijacked planes. So to prevent any more of that, the air traffic in the United States is shut down today, except for Air Force One, which is carrying President Bush back from Florida, where this morning he was promoting his education program. Martin Costi, what else do you have for me?
Well, Bob, we have more information from around the country as the shock starts to turn into action in terms of securing some of the more likely targets if these attacks, apparent attacks, continue. Some federal buildings now are being reported to be closing outside of the Washington area as well as in Washington. In Dallas-Fort Worth, the reports that federal buildings there are closing. Military installations are preparing for a change in status, if not already changing. In Virginia, Navy installations in Hampton Roads, the world's largest Navy base, are under increased security. They call that ThreatCon Charlie. That's implemented. That's a condition that's implemented when an incident occurs, when intelligence is received that some sort of terrorist action is imminent. In New Jersey, all airports and river crossings to New York City are closed. Traffic is snarling on the New Jersey Turnpike. It's completely backed up. Commuter trains canceled. Newark International Airport. Officers with shotguns blocked the road leading to the Port Authority offices and the air traffic control tower. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, the IDS Center, the tallest building in the state, has been evacuated. Also as a precaution because of its possibility as a target because of its prominence. Airports are closing, of course, because of the FAA order to halt air traffic. In New York State, again, security is heightened across the state. There are plans to increase security at border points. Governor Pataki has canceled his events for the day. In California, the state is on high alert. The state's emergency council convened as Governor Gray Davis requested heightened security at all state buildings. And in Tennessee, the Department of Energy's Nuclear Weapons and Research Complex at Oak Ridge is under heightened security. And all flights from Tennessee's major airports are grounded. Chemical plants are increasing their security. And overseas in South America, Secretary of State Colin Powell is returning to the United States, interrupting his tour of Colombia and Peru. He was informed this morning when he was having breakfast with newly elected and Peruvian President Alejandro Toledo of the incidents, and he immediately made plans to return. He will make brief comments to a meeting of the of local leaders who are meeting in Lima, and will head home immediately. Bob?
A plane crashed this morning in Pennsylvania. It is not known if this is connected to the crashes in New York City and in Washington. It was a 747 jumbo jet crashed about 10 o'clock Eastern time, about 8 miles east of Jennerstown, Pennsylvania. This would be the fourth plane crash in the United States this morning. Two at the New York World Trade Center, one at the Pentagon, and a fourth with, it's not known if there's any connection at all. I hate to speak of a normal plane crash, but a 747 jumbo jet in Pennsylvania. Shortly after this morning's explosions at the World Trade Center, President Bush was in Florida and had this to say.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
President Bush speaking this morning in Florida. He is now on his way back to Washington, D.C. from Florida. Apparently the president believes this is, he described it as an apparent terrorist attack. This morning I spoke with a couple of witnesses in New York City who were near the explosion at the World Trade Center.
I was sitting in my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable.
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River, because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan, and it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong, and I thought it was going to crash. And then all of a sudden it swung over as if it was going towards Newark Airport and hit the World Trade Center dead on.
Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions. And I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad. And some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke. And we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there. But we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
The experiences of several New Yorkers this morning after the plane crashes at the World Trade Center and the subsequent collapse of the two towers, or most of the two towers of the World Trade Center. Each of those towers was 110 stories high. They are no longer 110 stories high. Kathleen Zichy is a senior manager at New York University Hospital in downtown New York. Ms. Zichy?
Yes. NYU Downtown Hospital.
What's the scene there today?
We have a very, very high volume of patients who've been coming steadily through the door since the first explosion occurred. We feel that we're very well equipped to handle this disaster. Unfortunately, we have had prior experience in terms of the World Trade Center explosion in 93. The cafeteria has been converted to a triage area. We have wall-to-wall patients in there now. Many of the injuries that we are seeing are somewhat superficial. It would be very difficult for me to give you a patient count because the volume of patients is so high and they are coming through the door steadily.
I'm sure you are well equipped, but given the volume of patients that you could be expecting, what do you do about that? Where can you divert these patients to other facilities?
We have a disaster plan in place at the hospital that has a very specific set of guidelines in terms of helping us to pull in the resources that we need to handle a situation of this type. We are also part of a network of hospitals, and they have offered their support. We've had many volunteers who have come through who have offered to donate blood. So we have had a tremendous amount of support from our community in terms of our response.
You must be expecting hundreds and hundreds.
We have hundreds and hundreds here now, and we are expecting additional patients.
Ms. Ichi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jackie Leiden is in New York City. Jackie?
Well, Bob, I think that for New Yorkers, the nightmare continues to unfold. Every street is now gridlocked with traffic. Subways are shut down. There are reports of difficulty crossing the bridges, especially, of course, impossible by car. I'm going to try and bicycle into Manhattan. Thick gray clouds of smoke where the World Trade Centers used to be. Frustration over obtaining reports on casualties. The hospitals have not been able to coordinate. The command and control center that the city operates, the emergency center, within the World Trade Towers. We haven't had a statement yet from the mayor's office. Obviously, people who can walk to New York University Hospital, which is downtown, are not those most critically injured. There would have been tens of thousands of people in that building at 9 o'clock in the morning. However, the total collapse came slowly. So just no word on what is undoubtedly going to be a staggering number of casualties. And I think my plan after we talk will be to try to bicycle into the city to get more information.
Thank you, Jackie. Looking at a report from the Reuters news agency, Abdel Bari Atwan, who's a London-based editor of an Arab newspaper, says that Saudi dissident Osama bin Laden warned 3 weeks ago that he and his followers would carry out an unprecedented attack on U.S. interests for its support of Israel. Audrey Cronin lectures in counterterrorism at Georgetown University. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
This would seem to be, if it is in fact a terrorist attack, certainly unprecedented. Would describe it.
Yes, I would say that in terms of the potential number of casualties, this is an unprecedented attack in the United States. Very tragic and shocking as we watch it unfold.
It's the idea of chaos and confusion, which we have now. The idea that air traffic is over for the moment in the United States. The biggest and most important government buildings in Washington, D.C. have been evacuated. Trading on the stock exchange has been shut down. This is chaos.
No, I don't think it's chaos yet. In fact, I think by looking at it that way and feeling these emotions that we feel, we help to bring about just exactly what an attack like this is intended to engender, which is fear and panic among those who are watching. This is not chaos. We still have a government that is in power and in control. Some of the reports that I'm watching evolve have turned out to be incorrect. It is a very alarming and very disturbing event, but it is not chaos.
Where are they in control with government buildings being evacuated? The Congress, the White House, the State Department, the Pentagon, the Treasury Department?
I think government control has more to do with the people who are directing the government than it does the buildings in which it occurs. There are some secure spaces. The president, as far as we know, is not in danger. And I would simply say that it's not business as usual, undoubtedly. But to describe it as chaos is only to bring about the kinds of emotions and panic that the terrorists are trying to engender.
Dr. Alice Cronin lectures in counterterrorism at Georgetown University. NPR's Alex Chadwick joins me now.
Good morning, Bob. I've just come through downtown Washington, D.C., and it's true there is not a sense of panic in the streets, but there certainly are people jamming the sidewalks, trying to get out of downtown, trying to get home. The buildings are shut down. People seem calm. Perhaps that's because there are no apparent fires or explosions going off in the central part of town north of the White House. But certainly buildings are closing. Streets are blocked off. Quite suddenly, police tapes go up across streets. One, in fact, in front of our building here, because the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is across the street. And you've been here in the studio, so you didn't hear this, but a little while ago, they called for the evacuation of this building. I think that's happening all over the city. People are being asked to leave, and they're worried. They're concerned, of course.